line. So yes. Thank you for being
yes.
here. We
okay.
welcome you.
So I have done this before. I don't know who all, I know Stacy was, and we can't decide. Maybe 8 or 10 years ago. It's been a while since I've been here, and of course there's been lots of changes on the farm since then. Real quickly, some of you know who I am, some of you don't. My last name is Weber. Of course, that's a married name. That is not a local Princeton name, but I do have a lot of family history here. I moved down here in 1977. I was in the end of the fifth grade. And my parents had divorced, but my mom came back to be with family, and both my grandparents, my grandmother was an O'Hara, deep roots out. I mean, our family farm was the experiment station and the owned quarry, all of that way back when. On my grandfather's side, the Rices from Fredonia, Fredonia Valley Bank, you know, opportunities there, the tobacco warehouses that burned. We all joke that the family fortunes were lost back then. But I do have deep roots here in Caldwell County, even though I was not initially born here. And a lot of you knew my mother, Ann Kimmel, who was like the famed historian of Princeton. And there's a lot of things that died with her that I do not know. She always wanted me to know, but it wasn't my thing.
It
wasn't my thing. So anyway, so that's a little bit of who I am. From that point, I graduated from Caldwell County in 84, Murray State in 88 with an ag degree. Have always been horse crazy. I rode Racer 1 around the track when I was at Murray, had a blast with that. After I graduated, I moved up north to work for a farm up there in the horse industry. Ended up meeting my husband there. So he is not from this area, Rob, and we have two children. Many of you know Bob. He is now 32. He has a lot of special needs, and many of you knew him through the school system. So kind of how, and then we have a daughter. Now we have grandchildren who are in Georgia. But basically some of how we came to be is we didn't know what we were going to do when we moved down here in 06. We had a very successful horse business up north. It was training. It was very busy. It was very geared to traveling and being on the road and horse shows and all that. Well, when Bob came onto the scene and as he grew and then he ended up, you know, in the beginning we didn't know if he would walk or not and he ended up in a chair. He had a lot of special needs that were not really conducive to the type of business we were doing. And we also knew that it would be helpful for us with a lot of his problems if we had more family support. So that's what brought us back to Princeton in 06. And then we found some property that was vacant, and my husband and I spent the first 4 years just building our house, building the farm, just trying to kind of figure out how. And we were trying to figure out all this time, it's like, okay, how are we going to make a living? Because we can only live off for so long off of the proceeds from the last farm. So during that time, real quick, that I'll tell you a quick story of Faith. And I was in the barn cleaning stalls, and it was about the time that Bob was going to be turning 18. And we had to do one of the hardest things ever, which is take your child to court and have them declared incompetent. Never realized that was something that, see, I still get teary about. But it was something that we knew that had to happen for his protection. And we also knew that he will forever be our child. As long as he is alive, he will be with us or something. So we knew that whatever we did to make a living, one of us at least had to be home with Bob. So I was in the barn praying. The best place to pray is on the end of a pitchfork. Just clean the stalls. You can talk to the Lord. It's awesome. And I'm like, Lord, you know, what are we going to do? Like, we need to, like, make a living, and we Bob and this. And the thing, too, about we were very tons of experience in the horse business. But Caldwell County does not have the clientele that we had where we were. I mean, just it's not the same demographic financial base. And so we knew we couldn't do what we were doing before. But I was cleaning stalls, and very clearly, not audible, but the Lord just impressed upon me, use what I've given you. And I'm just like, what does that mean? And over, use what I've given you. Use what I've given you. And I'm like, gosh, you know, so what happened is when we originally were looking for property, we were looking for like 15, 20 acres with a little bit of woods. The Lord blessed us with 65. He knew that we were going to need it. And because we always said, well, we'll buy this piece of property and we can always sell off the back if we don't need it or rent it or whatever. Well, the Lord had a plan in mind and he knew we would need it. So as I started to think about what does that mean and with the farm, I had realized that when we moved down here from Wisconsin, we had brought four horses with us. And three of them were over the age of 20 or better. And when we lived in Wisconsin, obviously very, very cold. We had a heated barn. It was very flat. It was very muddy. The horses would, I mean, they'd go up to their knees in the mud. It was just the terrain and the soil type was different than here. And when we moved down here, we realized some of these arthritic horses that we brought with us, gosh, they're moving better. They're not as stiff as they used to be. You know, our topography of our ground is flowy. It, you know, little hills and things. So the water doesn't sit anywhere. So now if it's muddy and they step in the mud, you know, they might get the hoof. They might go up to here in the mud, but they're not going up to here in the mud. And anyways, just everything seemed to be a better environment for them. And so I started thinking about it and thinking to myself, I wonder if anybody would ever think about sending us their old horses to take care of here versus like where they were. And so the good thing about our business is we had a clientele base to start with. So we contacted a number of our old clients and just kind of, and old vets we worked with, farriers, different things, and we said, hey, what do you think? And they're like, well, yeah, I mean, there's a need, but nobody's going to pay you too much to take care of these old horses. You know, they're just kind of thinking like, throw them out and forget them. And I'm like, well, no, that's not exactly what we want to do. So we just kind of felt it out and we put it to the test and we really did the build it and they will come philosophy. It's really exactly what we did. We just started moving towards that direction and God has blessed us so more abundantly than I could ever imagine in what we do. And Stacy can tell you, not necessarily in a monetary means because it's not a high... It's not a lucrative business, but we have lived a very good conservative life, doing what we want to do, helping people, using it as a ministry. We've had people that we've been able to share the gospel with. I mean, it's just been a great connection from people literally all over the world. So going back to getting back to being started, that's how we got started. We started building. Our first horses came the very first summer. We started in April. I put the website out there at the end of April. That first summer, we had three horses. They all belonged to an owner that we had previously known before in Wisconsin. They sent them down because of the situation they were in. And those horses ended up being with us. One was like 33 when he came. He didn't live very long. But one of them was with us for 12 years before she finally passed away. So we kind of got a start there, kept building. But we still had not gotten to the point where we had anybody who didn't already know us send us a horse. And that took well over a year. And believe me, after that first year when Ram and I are like, okay, we've been doing all this hard work and it's still, you know, it was just really a faith thing to have to hang in there and do that. But then one by one, trickle by trickle, they started coming. And that was, we started in May of 2010. Our first horses came in June of 2010. By May of 2012, we were putting an addition on the barn already. So, and we have been full with a waiting list pretty much ever since. And there's, one of the sad things is there are people I have to turn away because we just can't take them. And they're like, but my friend says, you're the only place.
You're the best.
I'm like, but the reason we're the best is because we don't take everybody. So anyways, that's been kind of part of it. Over the timeline, we've just continued to kind of add on, continue to improve things, different fencing. We did a project with the NRCS back 2018, 2019, somewhere in there. Where we added a pond, some waterers out to our back pastures that we couldn't access, where we were always hauling water every day out to, like, and bucketing, you know, it was kind of long and tedious that way. But we've done some different things that way, and we have two full-time staff members. We have several volunteers that come and help us in different ways. If anybody needs a horse fix, I can fix you up, come out. It's very safe. It's very clean. It's very, these are the posh pampered ponies. So one of the things people say, well, you know, can't you just like toss them out in the pasture and, you know, make sure they have what they need and water and they'll be fine. That is not the type of horses that we have. The horses that we have been in prior Olympics. We've got one actually that's going to be coming that has ran in the Kentucky Derby. We've got horses that have been Grand Prix champions. We've got a horse now that the horse won everything he needed to possibly win. It's a Grand Prix jumper. And she's like, this horse has nothing. He owes me nothing. He's done everything. He's won everything. And she goes, as an owner, I feel like this is, you know, he's kind of at the end of his career. She's like, the trainers want to keep, they're like, oh, you can get this money for him, and he can keep competing, and he can do this, and we can just maintain him with injecting his hocks and doing things. And she's like, I don't want to do that to him anymore. He's earned his retirement. So he had to go on the waiting list because there wasn't room. And so he was on there, I don't know, 6 or 8 months, and I called her, and she's like, I'm so glad you called me. She goes, these people are about to drive me crazy, and I need him out of here. And she goes, last week, she goes, I turned down $350,000 for him because somebody really wanted to keep him going. And she goes, and I can't handle that pressure anymore. So we have people who really love their horses, really, really love their horses, that send them to us. And most of our clientele comes, we have like a real niche up in the Boston area, Florida and California. We do have horses. We've had horses from Wyoming. We've had horses from Chicago and all of those different places. We've had a horse from the Dominican Republic. We've had two horses from Hong Kong. And those of you who heard me talk before have heard that story. And whether I get a quick, you'll have to tell me where I am time-wise. So whether I can talk about that a little bit, I will. But it's just what we do is, most of these horses have been in a high-end show. Like they don't get a fly on them without someone practically swatting it off for them. And they're very pampered. And so to just put them out in a field and fend for yourself, they don't know how to operate that. And one of the best ways that I can kind of relate to people who don't understand how horses are is, I would think most of you maybe have a dog or a cat that you adore and is in your home and you love and you nurture and whatever. Well, just think if they got old and you said, okay, it's time for you to go to retirement, and you put them, tied them to a line or put them in a doghouse outside in the backyard.
We don't do that.
Yeah. Well, it's the same with these horses. So if that's kind of how we are, is we don't tie them out in the yard in the back. These horses are still pampered. They have fans and blankets and depending on what level of grooming they get and snacks. And, you know, we have owners who send $150 worth of horse cookies every 6 weeks and they show up with UPS. I kid you not. But so anyways, it's very pampered. But we have, I tell you what, they're all amazing people, every one of them. And they do come to Princeton. They come, they stay, we go to lunch here, we visit, they're intrigued by our town. We have one client who is she's a known person, personality. In fact, she asked us not to disclose any her identity to us. The horse that she had that is with us now, he missed the last cut for the China Olympics, the last China Olympics. And they found out right afterwards he had a little something in his neck. And she's like, he can't perform at the level that he knows to perform at. I'm retiring him. And so he's with us. You know, she asked us to be quiet, but interesting, she's like, she had for years has ordered hams from Newsom's and shipped them all over the world. And she's like, I had no idea. And I'm like, well, we can go. And it, but we're not going to be in a hurry, because when you go into Newsom's, you're not in a hurry. And anyway, so we're you know, Princeton is definitely connected all over that way. So how much time do I have?
About 12:30.
Okay.
12:30.
No, but what time do you need me to be done?
About 10 and 12.
Okay, 10 or 12 minutes. Okay. So before I get into a couple of the stories, are there any questions so far on kind of what we do, or no? All right, I'll just keep going.
How many horses? And if this is a premature question, you
no, go ahead.
Yeah, how many horses are you able to?
We were at 23 retirees for many years. We have, a little over 2 years ago, we kind of wanted to relook at, like, okay, we've been doing this for how long? Let's just re-examine what we're doing. So this is I'll try and be quick with this story. So what we did is supply and demand. We have a wait list of people who want to be here. Rob and I have always been very nuts and bolts about how we price what we do. It's like, hey, is this much? Feed is this much? The electric bill, property taxes. We just kind of break it all up, and then this is what we need to put food on the table, and that's how much it costs to have a horse here. We never put a value on what we do, and that's just hard for me to do. We just have never done that. So also getting older and realizing I don't work quite as well as I used to in all the physical spots. We're like, so we talked and we said, we really want to keep doing what we're doing. We really don't see a change in that right away. But can we just work a little less hard? And so with that, we said, what if we could still make the same amount of money, but just have less horses? And so that's what we kind of maybe we would do. And so are any of you, okay, let me put it this way. We decided... We thought about the steak business. It's like, okay, you can come to Majestic House and get yourself a little steak. You can, and it's going to cost you this much. And you're going to go over here and maybe get a better steak and a better little bit of atmosphere, and it's going to cost you this much. Or you could go to the Roots Crisp or whatever and spend $100-something on a steak and a $15 a la carte baked potato and a whatever. Now, is any of that worth that? I mean, is the meat and the potato all that worth it? No, but the experience is, I know if I spend this money, my expectation is the atmosphere will be right, the reputation will be right, the cleanliness, the food, the whole package. So Rob and I talked and we're like, can we be the Ruth's Crisp of the horse retirement business? And so again, that faith thing, we prayed about it for a while, and we put together, I played with all the numbers, took out what it was, and we said, what if we offered a package, instead of having two stalls, we took a divider out in between it, we had a double stall, which is like an extra big box stall, so more room for the horse, and double fan, we just kind of tweaked it a little bit where it would be like the deluxe package, and so the deluxe package is $1,350 a month. The trying to say that and offer that to somebody the very first time on the phone was a little bit hard. They're like, and well, how much is it, whatever? And so, but the first person I talked to about it was like, no problem. No problem. I'm like, okay, they want the very best for their horse. And so we wanted to go down five stalls. We want to take one side of our barn, take out, if we took out all the dividers on the one side, we would have five of the double stalls. And so it has taken us a little over 2 years, but we have filled those. Now, we didn't not fill them for 2 years because people didn't want them. We didn't not fill them for 2 years because we had to wait for horses to die off so we would have room to make two spaces. So it has kind of worked out in that way. And it has You may not think five horses to take care of every day is a lot, but it has been an improvement in a little bit in our numbers that way. So that's that. And I'll tell you real quickly about our Hong Kong story, because it still just blows my mind. And it's, to me, it's just only a thing that God can do. This was very early on. We had not even put the first edition onto the barn. And it was 2012. We had a handful of horses. And I get an email, and it says, "Hi, my name is Sandra, da 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 da." And she's like, "I'm from Hong Kong, and I'm looking for a place to retire my horse." And she's asking all these crazy questions. You know, do you have predator on the farm? How big is the box? Just different terminologies. And it was just very crazy. If you read it, just the broken English and the different things of her not understanding what Western Kentucky was like. But the email address was hehehahaanumber@yahoo.com. So I'm going, somebody is really trying to have fun with me today and just like having a drink, right? So I go, and then I go in, I talk to Rob. I think Rob came in at lunch, and I'm like, "Rob, you know, I got the craziest email about," I'm like, "somebody from Hong Kong wants to retire a horse, and she's asking me all these specific questions." It's about the email address. And I'm just like, okay. And I'm like, you know what? This could be a joke, but the joke will really be on us if I do not respond to this email in a professional manner. And so, lo and behold, I respond to her, and we chat back and forth about all kinds of things. And I'm like, okay, we'll just see. And she says she wants to come visit the farm. And I'm like, well, at that time, again, no place to stay in Princeton. Charles had the little B&B on Katy Street there, and some of our little horse people would stay there occasionally, and he treated them wonderfully. So I gave her that. I said, contact Charles. And then she, a week later, she's like, I still don't hear from B&B and whatever. So I said, well, let me check on it. Charles, yeah? Did you get an email from someone about, yeah? He goes, I didn't answer it because I saw it was hee hee ha ha. I said, Charles, it might be a joke, but I don't know. So just answer it, please.
Still at that point.
Still at that point. Now here, we have only emailed. So yeah, and this had started like the beginning of May, and then she finally says she wants to send the horse. So she said she's going to come visit. So I'm like, okay, we make all this arrangement. I hadn't talked to Charles again, but make this arrangement. And then I'm going to drop Bob off at school. And then on a Monday morning, and I'm going to drive over to the Katy Street, and either she's going to be there or the joke is over. One of the two. Yeah. And sure enough, I pull up and she's got her little backpack and she's sitting on the steps, this Oriental girl in the middle of Princeton going, whatever. But lovely people. Her horse was with us 8.5 years. Her friend, we ended up getting two horses. The other friend's horse lived a little over 10 years. Lovely, lovely people, and enjoyed them thoroughly.
But, how do you get a horse here from Hong Kong?
8,000 miles on an airplane. It cost them $17,500 a piece to send them here. So $35,000 just to ship the two horses here. And they flew into New York, spent quarantine there, and then a trailer here. But lovely people. We still chat all the time. They're just amazing. I love them to death. That's probably one of the best things about our business, is we just get to meet some of the most amazing people. Just really good. I'm going to stop talking. So any more questions?
Yeah. Question. On average, how long does a horse stay with you?
Well, it depends on when they come. Like, sometimes we might not get a horse that somebody may not retire until they're 30. We got one at 33, and I'm like, well, and he was on the wait list. I'm like, well, he's going to die before we ever get room to take him. He came at 33. We had him until he was 37. Most older big horses will go mid-20s, but it depends on why they're retired. Some of them, a lot of them, we have to have a quality of life issue. Like all of a sudden, they're just so crippled they just can't. They're not comfortable anymore. You can see it in their face, their attitude, the eats. We can tell they're like, you know, yeah, this is not a quality of life, and then we have to make a decision. But we've had so much as 2 years. We've had some 6, 8, 10, 7, I don't know. I probably maybe 6 years would be, if I had to like average it out, guess, probably about 6 years. So.
So when they pass, when they pass.
Oh, yes. I didn't talk about that.
No, you didn't.
I did not. Okay. So when they pass away, we have, of course, we had all this land that the Lord said you're going to need. And so we have a place that we call the Final Sunset Resting Place. And it is on the back of our property. And when they pass away, we bury them there, and then we plant a tree. And then, so we have this big orchard now out there. We've got big trees. And because we've been burying horses since 2010. And now, so then we take the apples from the trees and bring them back to the horses and feed them. It's the great circle of life, as we call it. So I know my time is getting short here, so... the other thing we do, I'll tell you real quick, is, and I'm going to give this away to somebody who might want it today. Stacy did not get her calendar this year, and you know why? Because when I went in there one time and you had it, it was like 5 months behind when I went in your office. Yeah. I'm like, okay, all right, oh yeah, you know, you're in July and it's December. You like that picture. Okay, well, maybe. So anyways, but we do this for our clients every year, and these are all of the horses that are retired with us. This guy, Aishib, he is a pony. He's a Caspian horse. It's a very rare breed. He was imported. He was actually born on Prince Philip Stud Farm in England. So I told you, we have some fancy smancy horses. Okay. Census, he's a jumper from California. This is the $350,000 horse, Quad. Sage is a little Anglo-Arab, just he's from Wisconsin. Andy. She was from Boston. We actually lost Andy recently. Goldie is, she's with us. Sophie's actually from Nashville, so not too bad. Kip, and just some horses out in the field. We have some bigger fields, but anyways, that's kind of our guys and what we do.
Yeah,
oh, I take all the pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, that's part of what I do too. So two more things. We have a website. It's webbersretiredhorses.com. Lots of information on there. And then our Facebook page, which is Webbers Retired Horses, whatever, is there's all kinds of information and stories about the horses on there. Tons of stuff about horses and all of that. So, that's what I have to say. And then I'm gonna put a plug on one other venture I have, because you guys are business people. We just opened my mom's house. Those of you who have been there know her. We purchased after she passed away about 3 years ago. And anyways, our daughter was there for a while. They're now in Atlanta. And what we have done real quickly is we've made an Airbnb out of it. And last Thursday was the first day it was listed to be available. It has been booked every night so far. And the people who have been there have just been thrilled that there's a clean, comfortable place to stay in Princeton that's local. So it's on the down on the dead end of South Seminary, down where Dwayne the corner and stuff lives. At the bottom of the hill on the right. Brick house, yeah. Little yellow door. Little brick house. Anyways, I have the link I can share with anybody. Or if you just go to Airbnb, of course there's nothing in Princeton, even when you pull up Airbnb, so it will come up. It's called Cozy Quarters. There's actually three, but we have two set up for guests. And both people who have been there already, just they're like, I'm very picky. So
exactly.
Yeah. Well, again, it's maybe some income, but I don't have to work quite so hard as we get older. So, and I have someone else who's helping me with the cleaning, so it should be okay. And I'm also booking, which I made the mistake. I didn't realize. I'm also booking an extra date. Like, if someone books it, I'm canceling out the next day, so I don't have to rush over there in between 11 and 3 and clean house, which is what I had to do on Sunday because I messed up on the booking part. But anyways, so... calendar takers, anybody?
Nobody.
All right, no, let me see. Okay, raise hands if you want a calendar, because I'm going to do this fairly. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, numbers between 1 and 20. Okay, 1 and 20, what's your
17.
Number?
Did you say 17?
She yep. did.
I was going to say, okay, 7.
That's funny.
Eight. Which one's the closest?
Eight.
The number was 12. I'm going. I had to tell her because I'm like, I don't think I don't pay you the math.
I wasn't much help. I almost got it.
I have one quick question.
Yeah.
You say you have this waiting list. Are there many facilities like yours?
No, there is not. There are a lot of retirement facilities. But.
They're not like yours.
No, they're not. They don't do what we do.
I've been following you long enough to know that.
Oh, okay.
They're not like yours.
Yeah, they don't do what we do. And really, it's reputation. And it's. Rob and I have a lot of experience with horses. I went to school for agriculture. I went to learn school to take care of horses. I've done a lot and very much in the medical end of things, done it all. You know, last week I ran IV fluids all night from 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. on a horse because we had to, you know. So, but it's what we do, and we've been very blessed by it. So, and we did. I will say, I have the head of the equine program at Lexington at UK came out for a field day here after we did the NRCS stuff, and after he was here, he was so impressed. He called me a couple months later and wanted us to start a farm in Lexington. And he said, I've already got the farm picked out. I'm like, no. No. Because, no, well, the thing is you can franchise all you want. And this is a business thing. You can franchise all you want. But if you are not in control of the quality and what goes on,
You
have to be really careful. And to find good quality help that shows up and does what they say they're going to do in this world, you guys, every business that I can probably see has that problem.
Do you get clients from a Lexington area where there are lots of horses and horse farms?
No, not so much, really. It's areas, a lot of people are wanting to, the northern people want to get their horses out of the hard winters. The southern people want to get out of the hot and all that. So, you know, Kentucky is a good, if you go on the website, you'll see it's one of the questions I put on there is why Kentucky?
Yeah.
And it's because of our history and the weather and you know, is it perfect here? No, but it's a lot better.
It's better than Boston.
It's nice and
weather.
The middle of the road. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wisconsin. And
I just can't believe Bob is 32.
I know.
I still see him in high school, you know.
I know. He's growing up quick, but Bob is, he's very much a part of our business. He goes out every morning with us, and he has a power wheelchair, and he drives his power wheelchair with one hand and the push broom with the other. And we have a 110-foot aisleway, and he sweeps that thing beautifully. So, and he knows every horse, all the stories, all the whatever. So you can need to do your business. So
it's really good for him.
Thank you.
But I'm happy.